I'm someone who was really unsuccessful with money for a long time, and I don't have any professional training in money. So I don't have a finance degree or anything like that. It's just over time, if you change your mindset that you can be good with money and that you can do a little bit of budgeting and save your money and pay yourself first, you can have really great success with finances and not have to worry about it as much. And you can go on and live your life and do the things that you enjoy and not have money just always kind of dragging you down.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today, the special guest is Aaron Nannini. And Aaron's all about money, finance, and creating cash on uncomplicated. He talks about is paycheck to paycheck panic and unsuccessful monthly budgeting, leaving you feeling empty and unsatisfied. Living a financial life that doesn't align with your values is an impossible way to build wealth. So how do you? Well, personal finance doesn't have to be complicated, according to Aaron. Even if you're not a Wall Street millionaire, you can understand wealth management, adopt a growth mindset, and discover a financially independent life before retirement. So here to explain it all a bit more to us from Cash Uncomplicated, welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thanks for having me, Annie. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome. And it's interesting the way you coined your business name, Cash Uncomplicated. So what led you down the path that you needed to make Cash Uncomplicated?
That was kind of a layered question because it sounds like kind of a simple name. I mean, literally uncomplicated, but I probably went through like 100+ names. And as you know, a lot of the domains are already taken. And so I finally looked at Cash Uncomplicated and I looked at to see if the domain was available. Unfortunately, it was. So I was super stoked about that. But I really wanted to capture something that's really complicated for a lot of people, which is money, and make it a lot more simple. Because I know for me, when I was, especially in my 20s and early 30s, money was really a complex topic for me. And I had so many different myths about it and misunderstandings. And so I thought, okay, what if I can write a book and then write a blog about how to make money more simple? And so that's how I got to Cash Uncomplicated.
You must have had a bit of experience trying to get to this point. Was there anything dramatic that happened in your life that made you change how you looked at money?
I think it was really a culmination of things. I don't know if it was like one singular event, but just over my 20s, I really did struggle with money. And it was just kind of that endless paycheck to paycheck cycle where money would come in, it would go out, come in, go out. And I was just kind of, I was getting tired of that. I also had a few overdraft accounts that was kind of a catalyst to get going on the personal finance spectrum. But I started to read books about it, listen to some podcasts and read various blogs. And the light bulb just kind of switched on for me. Once that happened, I did more research and kind of realized that all these myths I had about money and all these misconceptions just weren't true. And so I wanted to kind of reach out to people and tell them that, hey, it doesn't have to be like this. And so, as you know, you don't want to just reach out to people about money and say, hey, this is how you should do your personal finances, because that's kind of obnoxious. And so I thought, I'm going to write a book about it and explain it in that way. And whoever wants to read it, great. And if you don't want to, that's okay too.
Okay. So where do we go wrong? Are we just spending money willy-nilly? Do we not think about how we're spending our money? Where do we start?
I think there's a lot of mindless spending that happens. And so many people do what they did today with money just because they did it yesterday and the day before and the year before that. And so when you kind of pause and think about why am I doing certain things, it maybe doesn't make sense. So I'll give you an example of something I used to do is go out for lunch every day. And I didn't really value that. It was just something I did because I did it the day before and I wasn't really thinking about it. But then I realized this isn't really something I have to do. I can actually bring my lunch. It's going to taste just as good and it's going to actually save me money too. So just little things like that, little tweaks can really make a big difference.
Mm. Yes, my daughter's just had her first child and has decided to take a whole year off. And so they have done themselves a budget. So now instead of buying a coffee when they take the dogs for a walk every morning, they're only going to do it once a week.
There you go, right? And that way too, it's kind of a special treat, right?
Yes. And so some young people do have their heads screwed on. So where do we have to start? Is it all about having goals or what's the key factor here?
Yeah, I think it is about goals. And I look at it kind of goals and values almost interchangeably. So I do something what I call value-based spending. And so it's really spending only on things that you truly value. And so for me, that goes to looking at my life and kind of dissecting what do I truly value and what things do I not really care about so much. And so when I did that exercise, I realized, okay, I value my family, spending time with friends, travel. And some of my spending wasn't really aligned with that. Like as an example, if I'm going to go buy a brand new car and have car payments, if that doesn't really relate to my values, why am I spending that money and why am I working extra to pay for this car? And so I think a lot of people, when they go through that exercise, they realize these are my values, but they're incongruent with what I'm actually, with my actual behavior.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's hard to get a new car these days.
It is, right?
You could maybe put your money down, but you might have to wait a long time before it arrives, apparently.
Right.
I've got to update my car. I bought it back in 2009 and it's done a lot of miles. I'm thinking maybe I'll look at one that's 1 or 2 years old that's has got some Ks on or miles on the clock, but not, and I'll probably save myself $5,000 or $10,000 by doing that.
Oh, for sure, right? Because right when you drive the car off the lot, it loses that value.
So what is some strategies to do with investing and budgeting that you like to share with your followers?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing to do is to automate it. For me, that's just the simplest way to do it. So if you know, to use an example, if someone's making $4,000 a month and they want to invest 10% of their money, just right off the bat, set up an account so that you are investing $400. And so you kind of refer to that as paying yourself first or automating your money. That way that money's gone, it goes into your account, you're investing it automatically, and then you don't have to worry about it. So the rest of your money is yours to spend and to do what you want with it. And so I think that automation is just a huge key because it's just done for you and you don't have to think about it. You know, where I think people really get into trouble is where they spend first and then as an afterthought, think about investing. And then that way you're really probably going to spend most of your money and you may have a little left over, but when you bill yourself first or pay yourself first, you don't give yourself that opportunity.
Mm, that's very true. I know when I first started working, I did have a budget, but it was more for putting money away to pay for my bills because sometimes an insurance payment or car tires or something costs more than what the regular paycheck could pay for back in those days. And so I used to put money away in an account to so I'd have some money for when the bigger bills came in so I could pay them when they were due.
Right. I think that's a big part of it too, because you were doing that as well. You were automating your money and setting some aside so that there weren't those big surprises when the car broke or something else went wrong. You had the funds and you're good to go.
So can we talk about some strategies that people can do? How are they dealing with debt and what could they be doing if they could have better strategies in place for dealing with their finances?
So are you referring to like people who are already in debt or people who are trying to get out of it or kind of combination of both?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think people who are in debt, I think the first thing is really to write down what your debts are, because when you get it on paper, it really makes the reality come true of exactly what you have to pay off. And you're able to formulate a plan for yourself. So when you write down that debt too, you also realize some of that debt you may be able to just sell off and you don't have to necessarily pay it off. So if someone determines that they don't really value the expensive car, they could conceivably just sell the car and get a cheaper one and then have a little less debt. And then some of the other debt, there's a couple of things I talk about. One is the snowball method, and then the other is more like the debt stacking or avalanche. And so the snowball is really paying off the smallest debts first. And the purpose behind that is to build confidence and know that you can pay off debt. And then once you pay off that first debt, you take the money that you were putting in, then you pay the second debt, and you just keep moving forward. Whereas the debt avalanche, it's also called the stacking method, that's really where you're paying off the highest interest first. And once you're done with that bill, you go to the next highest interest after that. I think the problem for a lot of people with the debt stacking method is sometimes that's a lot of money to pay off first. So if you have a $12,000 to $14,000 debt, that could take a long time, and it's hard to build confidence over the course of 3 or 4 years that it might take to pay off.
Mm. Yes, that's right. So once they've had their debts paid off, how do you help people then with investing strategies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think once the debt is paid off, that's where you really just want to automate the money. So if you've been putting, let's use an example, $500 a month towards debt, and you finally have your debt paid off, you know, congratulations, great job. That's where you don't want to just lose that $500 a month, because if you just leave it in your checking account, it's going to inevitably get spent. So immediately take that $500 and start automating payments to yourself for your investments. And as far as specific investment strategies, that's really more for like a financial advisor. But for me, I'm really helping people set up that mindset so that once you do have your debt paid off, you know exactly what to do with your money. That's where you invest it and what, that's up to you. But don't let that gap occur where it's in your checking account.
So what age group have you come across that have got themselves into that much trouble that they need help and direction?
You know, I think debt, it knows no boundaries. It can hit someone as young as 18 and people as old as, you know, in their 60s, 70s and 80s. So to answer your question, I think the core of it is probably people who are maybe late 20s to late 30s, early 40s. That's where kind of the heart of the debt is, because a lot of people too have student loans during that age. So that's a big one. But debt really does impact everybody. And once you get into it, it's hard to get out, and you really have to switch that mindset to get out of debt and tell yourself, I'm done with this. I'm gonna formulate a plan.
So I know where I live, credit cards are easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also this, now you can do Afterpay where you can get something now and pay for it in installments. However, if you don't pay it by the required time, then you're hit with the interest. So is it a worldwide thing where credit cards are easy to get, and that's how a lot of people get into trouble?
Oh, for sure. It's super easy to get. And what a lot of people do here as well is they'll get one credit card, they'll max it out, then they'll go get another credit card and do the same thing. So some people have multiple credit cards that are either maxed out or close to it. And it's just that spiral of debt. And just like you talked about, they also incur some fees and high interest rates. And it's super hard to get out of.
Mm. So what's your recommendation with that? How many credit cards should we have?
You know, I'm very simple. And so I like to just have one card. There's some people who do a thing called, it's called travel hacking. And that's where they're opening multiple credit cards and they're getting the airline miles. And there's some people who are great at that and they actually do succeed. But for me, my recommendation is just to keep it simple. And as I said, for myself, I like to have just one card, as simple as possible. And that's kind of why I'm cash uncomplicated, because there are some complex things you can do with money and credit cards, but I like to just bring it down to its simplest form, make life easy. Then you can focus on other things in your life and not just trying to hack your credit card or money.
Yeah. So how do you work with people? Do you have apps, or what do you have that can help people get themselves out of debt? Your book. Now's the time to talk about your book.
Sure. Yeah. I think for me, there's two main outreaches I have. Number one is the book. I start the book with the value-based spending, like we talked about. And then I do talk about debt, automating your money. So in the book, I try to give a, as close to a complete picture of your personal finances as possible, so that after reading the book, you have a really good understanding of what your values are, you know, whether you want to get out of debt or not, how to save, how to invest. And then from there, I also have a blog that has just specific articles that are a little more specific to topics. And so from that blog, it's just like a little pointer. And I do normally 2 blogs a week. And so I think if you catch those blogs, you just, maybe if you can pick up 1 or 2 things a week related to your personal finances, that information will kind of compound.
Okay. So what is your book called?
The book is called Cash Uncomplicated. And then to make it really simple, I made my website the same thing, Cash Uncomplicated.
Okay. And so where's the best place for them to get the book? Can they get it just in print form or can they get an e-copy as well?
Yeah, people can get an e-copy. You can get it print. And then in about a month from now, I also have an audiobook coming out. So that'll be another way. Yeah, yeah. And that was a whole nother adventure in itself. But, you know, those are the 3 main ways to get it.
It's great because when you're in another country, sometimes it can be expensive to buy a book that's been printed in another country. So an ebook option is great. But I love audio books too, especially if they're able to be played in my car.
Oh, for sure.
I live out of town and I'm traveling backwards and forwards to town all the time. And that's when I listen to my special books.
Yeah, that's a great time, huh? Especially if you're on an hour or two trip, you can knock out several chapters right there.
Okay. So if they want to find out more about you or look up and read your blogs, can you just tell us your website again before we...
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Thank you for asking. The website is cashuncomplicated.com. And from there, you can email me, reach out. I love to hear people's perspective on money. So please feel free to email me and ask any questions. Give me some of your best money stories and some of your successes. I definitely love to hear them.
Do you have any you want to share?
As far as success stories?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's been some people, especially who have read my book, who have said, you know what, I never thought of this before. And so I'm going to immediately start automating my money. And so one guy in particular said he's already saving 10% of his income, which he's never done before. And so I thought that was just awesome because it's not that he didn't want to save his money. He just never really thought about the method to do it. And so by billing himself first or paying himself first, he said it's just so easy and he doesn't even have to think about it or really miss the money.
Yeah. So what's your parting comments to the listeners? What should they be doing or where should they start?
Yeah, I think my parting comments are that I'm someone who was really unsuccessful with money for a long time. And I don't have any professional training in money. So I don't have a finance degree or anything like that. It's just over time, if you change your mindset that you can be good with money and that you can do a little bit of budgeting and save your money and pay yourself first, you can have really great success with finances and not have to worry about it as much. And you can go on and live your life and do the things that you enjoy and not have money just always kind of dragging you down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a wonderful place to be. And you have shared it and made it very simple to understand. So congratulations, and we look forward to getting a copy of your book and seeing how anyone can make their life cash uncomplicated. So thanks very much for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. This is your host, Annie Nelson, and you have been listening to Aaron Nannini.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Annie.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.